Welcome back to the She Said podcast, number 14. We are moving right along.
We are. 2 months. We haven't missed it one.
No.
It's the most committed I've been to something in a long time. Life. Yeah, my whole life. Wow.
I know.
A wow for you. 14. We got away from those for a bit.
I know. We tried to stay away from it, although I think I said a few last time. So how was your weekend? You had a fun weekend with a creature.
Fun weekend. So Porter Ray, if you're out there, I miss you. I'm coming back for you, Porter Ray. I'll see you on Wednesday. So yeah, so 2 years ago we met Porter Ray and a little monkey named Dolly. But Dolly wasn't there, but we met Porter Ray again. And Porter Ray is a 4-year-old spider monkey.
Spider monkey.
And it is not too often that you get to be just one-on-one for unlimited amounts of time with a spider monkey. And so he gets on the boat, he wears a life jacket, he hangs out, like just holds your hand, hugs your neck, plays with you. He was climbing all over Rocky's truck. When Daisy was a puppy, I think it was actually Dolly who slapped Daisy. It was so funny. But they totally interact with dogs if, you know, the dog's tolerant of it. It is just the coolest. I have a video that I put on there, and of course my video glit. He does have a Facebook page, and it's called Life with Porter Ray, so everyone can see the monkey that I'm talking about. But he has the coolest life. I mean, he just travels and he has an amazing life at home where he is just has all the acreage you could ever want, and he just swings in the trees. He's not caged at home. Very, very cool little monkey.
That's so funny. That video you sent me, I was like, well, you don't get a video like this every day.
No, I mean,
but
totally.
I was laughing because he was hugging you, and then I was like, okay, he might rip your hair out of your head.
Yeah, Stephen is like, and he does. They were like, you're not going to leave with any hair left. Thank God you have a lot of it, because they do. I was like, yeah, he's like a toddler. I mean, he's honestly kind of like just a naughty toddler. I mean, this man has so much patience, and all the people that are with him, they're just a bunch of friends that always travel together, and they all just, it's life with Porter Ray, literally. Wow. I mean, so very cool experience. And I look forward to seeing him again before he leaves. I cannot wait.
I always wanted a monkey as a little girl. All my stuffed animals on my bed were monkeys. I loved monkeys.
I tell you what, though, you've got to have nerves of steel. Your skin better be thick because, I mean, like, he loves to kind of like nip, like, they're love bites. But if he were to get mad, I mean, you could see those little monkey teeth and they would take your face off. I can tell you that right now. Because he'll hug you. And like when he looks at me in the eyes, I'm like, I don't really know what you're looking at or thinking, Porter Ray, but I love you.
Back up.
I love you. Yeah. And so, those little monkey hands grab that hair and pull real hard or grab your jewelry. And yeah, proceed with caution. My husband will not go close to it. Like, he has not touched it. He didn't last time.
He had
no. And it's interesting. Like, he just, and so I'm like, Stephen, you chase way badder people than Porter Ray.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care. I don't trust a monkey. So even on our honeymoon, I remember I sat by a little monkey and he was like, please step away from the monkey. No, he didn't want to buy it. This time I'm like,
they are pretty strong creatures though.
They are strong. Yeah. They are strong. So that was fun.
Yeah, I bet that was fun.
Mm-hmm. And then we made peanut butter and pickle sandwiches. I think I told you we're gonna try that. We tried that.
How was it?
I mean, they had me all make them another one.
Oh.
So I was actually surprised. Yeah.
Did you like it?
It was okay. Would I have another one? No. But, you know, I just give me chicken tenders.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But no. But they all asked me to make them another one. They must like it. I just did the Trader Joe's pickle slices, like beers, and the peanut butter and a slice of bread, and they ate it. I couldn't believe it.
None of that
sounds
good at all.
It was an interesting mix. Yeah, no. Stephen wanted frog legs. They have the woodshed, so they would make him frog legs, but we didn't go get any frog legs. He was going to trick the kids and tell them it was chicken, but
have
we didn't.
Have you tasted frog legs?
I have not. I
no,
don't
they
know
do really
do
taste like chicken.
Yeah.
Like a really bland chicken.
I'll probably have to just to make it fun, but we'll probably get him maybe this weekend or something for him.
I had him in France all the time when I was over there, and they do really taste like chicken.
Something about that.
I know.
So yeah, it was eventful. We did it though. So what about you? What'd you do?
I a lot of stuff got canceled on Saturday, plans, just because of the stupid rain once again. It's like over and over and over and over. But I went to see my dad on Sunday, which was fun. Always everything's different now.
Yeah.
So it was a different Father's Day. And he even made a point of saying that it seems weird celebrating Father's Day when she's not here. So it was different, but I was telling you how well he's doing, which is good because I could see him feeling better and eating right and doing all the things. So that was good. So it was a good day with him.
I find that I block out those days. Dang it. I don't talk about my dad much. And he was so amazing. And I went through a lot through his, he had a long, long death. And I find that I block Father's Day out. And I hate it for Steven because I really kind of just make it like I really don't act like it exists. And I just realized this morning that I didn't even call my father-in-law and tell him happy Father's Day. And I feel really bad for that. But it's like a day that I just kind of block. I didn't even put, I didn't put a message to my dad on Facebook or anything. He was such a great dad. I have no complaints about him. Like he just was so good and such a solid person in my life. So anyways, that is something I struggle with and I'm sure other people do about those holidays. And so I'm glad you got to be with your dad. And I cried. I actually cried. I do have built up tears that I hide.
Yeah. It just, it never gets easier.
No, we
and
do
people
hide
say
things.
That to you all the time. It'll get easier. It's never going to get easier. You learn to live with it. It's not easier. It's never going to be easier, I've decided. But you're learning because you block it out. And that's your survival mode. That's how you survive those holidays.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Tom, happy Father's Day. I'm very sorry I didn't call and tell you that. So thank you for being a great father-in-law and father to Steven and granddad to my kids. So. Yeah. There we go.
I know. It's hard. My gosh, it's hard.
Yes. Okay. So moving on.
Okay. Tell me all about your crazy opossums versus possums. But we have to talk about what happened this morning with the opossums and the possums. We'll make it lighter.
You said that I was like, okay, that's it. I want to find an opossum. And she was like, well, what's the difference between an opossum and a possum? And I was like, well, I just know that opossums are from around here, like the United States. Possums are like from other parts of the country. I couldn't answer the details. So I look it up on TikTok and it's like possums are smelly. Opossums are smelly.
Yeah. The whole list of possums.
It didn't give me great details.
No. All I did is add an O between the same description of whether it's an opossum or a possum.
But I'm just here to tell you guys, I had no idea that opossums like can make great pets. And so I'm not kidding. First of all, they don't really carry rabies. Can it happen? Yes, but very, very rare. And people literally have them like cat. They can use a litter box. They are so docile. Look it up on TikTok. Opossums as pet. And the way these little mamas carry their babies. And then if you see one that gets hit by a car, like their babies can still live in their little pouches. Like, for a little bit. I mean, so you can still rescue those babies. They are just the cutest, sweetest, little furriest pets. So, if you see roadkill, call me.
I can start a recovery center for baby opossums. Yeah, not possums, but opossums.
Like the koala category, I think.
Kangaroo,
like
I thought you read.
Well, that's the possum. I don't know. It's confusing. Oh. But they do have pouches. It's really interesting. I just had no idea. It's worth looking up on TikTok because people should know about what they're about because they really are very sweet and they look so scary because of their teeth. But
and they hiss at you.
And they would hiss at you if they're really scared. But if you don't approach them to be like that, then you really just scare them to death. They just pass out.
So is the opossum or the possum what's around here?
Opossum.
Opossum.
Yes.
The one that hangs around my yard is not furry and cute.
Well, it would be if you made it a pet.
If I brought it into the house, it would change.
If you weren't so rude to it, it would. If you didn't walk out there with a broomstick, Lisa.
The funniest thing is a couple years ago, the guy was putting Christmas lights on my house. So I was standing out there talking to him while he was doing it. He was up on the roof and I was standing beside my house and I'm standing there and I see something come out from my neighbor's backyard underneath their gate. And I thought it was a cat because we have a lot of neighborhood cats. And so I kind of just looked at it. Well, it was a possum from like me to you, and it walked right in front of me and then went behind my trash can there. And I was like, I said to the guy, I'm like, there's a possum down here. What should I do? And he goes, just stand there. And he said, if you want to climb the ladder, it can also climb the ladder. So you're probably just better to stay where you are. And it stood there and stared at me. And then it walked back around and went right back underneath.
Was waiting for you to bring it in. Yes. It was like, hello.
I'm here.
I'll be your pet.
I want to be
Speaking
your pet.
Of that, so last night we walked out in the front yard and there was a scream. I've never heard a screaming. Like I never go on next door, actually. And the screaming and howling, it sounded like a puppy that was getting absolutely mauled to death. It went on for probably 5 minutes. I went on to next door and it was happening across Crow Creek. And I was like, has anybody have hear this going on? Somebody's pet either was flown up into a tree by an owl, something. It was the most blood curdling scream from an animal, went on and on and on. But the scary part is I'd walked across the street. I told Rocky and Ty to come with these. They went with me, thankfully, because we were trying to see if maybe it was in the backyard of a neighbor. But they were all gone, so they couldn't check their own yards. Well, my next door neighbor saw 12 coyote walk through the yards, 12 plus. He was like, it was at least 12. So we have a big coyote problem over there on Crow, stuff like that. Just as I turned around in the dark, because it's probably 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock maybe, there was just a man out of nowhere dressed in a hoodie and pants. And I just literally, as I turned around, I about walked right straight into him. And all I could say was like, can you hear that screaming? Well, he didn't answer me. And I said, can you hear that screaming? Well, he took his headphones out. And I said, I'm sorry, could you hear that screaming? I didn't know you had headphones in. And he just shook his head no, just kept walking. Like he wouldn't, he just kept walking the other direction. So I told Steven and he was, you are done walking outside right now. Like people are underestimating how dangerous it is to be outside at night. He didn't usually tell me stuff like that. And he was like, do not go outside at night in the dark anymore to do anything.
Where was that? Was he on your sidewalk?
He was on my street, walking down the street. It was nobody, it was not a neighbor. We have a lot of nighttime walkers like, yeah, from our neighborhood. And you know your neighbors. Mm-hmm. He was not a neighbor, not from the neighborhood. I mean, never seen him before. So yeah, I'm just glad the boys were with me. Because I walked straight into somebody that was just like out of nowhere. It's a little scary.
Never figured out what the screaming was.
Never. No.
I did see this morning there were a lot of coyotes in neighborhoods. People were posting about them. So scary.
They're probably getting flooded out of their little den.
I bet that's it with all the rain.
Yeah.
I have a privacy fence in my backyard, but after dark or early morning when it's still dark, I take my dog out on a leash in my backyard that's gated.
I'm telling you, somebody said bunnies sound a lot like. They have a horrible scream. I've never heard it.
It's horrible.
Well, it was absolutely awful, and I never want to hear it again.
I have rabbits that always pick my yard because it's secure, because it's fenced, have their babies, and then Piper can smell them in their little bunny holes. And so she'll go up to it. Well, then the bunnies run out and they're not fast enough because they can't hop yet. And Piper can almost catch them. And Piper's chasing them, barking. I'm chasing Piper, screaming. And the bunnies scream the most horrific scream. And she's never caught one. I don't know. I think she'd just play with it like it's a stuffed animal. But the screaming from the bunnies it's horrific.
I've never heard this.
Oh my gosh. They are so loud.
Wow. Okay.
It's a high pitched, like shrill, somebody help me now. And then they're screaming, Piper's barking and I'm screaming. And I'm sure my neighbors are going, what does she do over there? What is that? It's the most frightening thing ever. Cause I just don't want her to catch one of them.
No.
She wouldn't hurt it, but I think she thinks it's something to play with.
Of course.
But they do scream. It's a horrific scream. So that may have been what you were hearing.
Man, it was loud. It was terrible. Cause it was coming fully from across the street and across
something got a
the
hold
river.
Of
one. It went on for a long, long time.
Ugh.
So,
Wild Kingdom.
Wild Kingdom series.
I'm sure with your boys, you probably do, since you have one driving. Do you share your location with your family members?
Oh, yes. And I did with my mom, too. I mean, like, at first, my mom was like, my gosh, what is it? But then she felt really safe doing it. She enjoyed doing it. But it was funny because my sister just went to Greece and came back. And I asked her, I was like, well, just share your location in Greece. That way we know, because she didn't know anything about Life 360. And so she did. And then I shared hers. And just recently, she was like, I think she was asking me to turn it off because she was like, my God, you guys never quit coming and going and I'm getting alerted nonstop. And blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you're right. We are a family on the go. I was never lying to you when I told you we really do come and go all the time. There's a sense of safety about it, but I can't stand my kids sharing their location with everybody and their dog on Snapchat. I think it's really, really weird.
That is weird. And that is something the younger kids are doing, which I do find very strange that they all know where everybody is.
It's weird. Not to mention it exposes where your family is.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, there's just, I don't know. And everybody doesn't need to know where you are at that. I get your family.
But I don't understand the kid thing either.
I don't understand it. And that's like, you guys have lost such a sense of privacy.
Yeah. I would hate that when I was younger to have people knowing exactly where I was.
Well, and then not to mention the insecurities that it creates for kids, because a lot of times it can, they think, you know, maybe they see a group of people at someone's house and they're not invited, or maybe they just think they're not invited, or maybe some kids just showed up at people's houses and there wasn't a part. Like, it just is like, jealousy. Man, there's a whole, I don't know. They're just, they have really all lost this sense of privacy mm-hmm. that we grew up with, that they have no idea exists. And it's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I started about 4 years ago. I was driving to Kansas City to see friends. And so my dad always worried about me driving. And so I put it on our phone so he could track me, because I knew he would want to track me, which is nice. And I also do him, especially now that he's by himself. But I track him. Like today, I tracked him all the way to the doctor's office that he was going to the day. And I love it for him.
Yes. It's,
but I do like the idea of it. And I think for parents and kids, it's got to be so invaluable. Except I know kids can turn off their location. But the fact that you have that and know exactly where they are, if they're driving home late at night, tracking them and making sure they get home. And today I saw that you can, I don't know if you've upgraded and you pay for it. I don't pay for it. But
I pay for the big one.
So then you can see everything. And
yeah. And you know what's funny is on my son, on Rocky, because it tells me his highest speed and all that, he's not gone over 72 miles an hour. I mean, he is so safe, knock on wood. He is honestly so careful. I was actually very, very shocked.
That's awesome.
That's his highest speed. That's it, because it'll tell you any heavy braking.
Oh, yeah.
Any none.
He's a good driver.
Mine looks different.
Yeah, mine would be off the charts. I caught myself going 90 something the other day trying to get around a car that was driving crazy.
He's a little old man behind that wheel.
That's awesome. Especially for his age and where he is in life. Well, I love mine. I'm glad I did it.
Well, and I will tell, I found out, so whenever I had all the parent controls on, you know, through AT&T on the phone. And just so parents know, whenever your kid turns 18 and they're on your plan, AT&T, even though you're still paying for the phone and all that, they automatically age out of you having any parent controls on that, which, okay, that's great, whatever. But just FYI, but like for Ty, I have it set where he cannot ever share his location with people. And I use the parent controls on that stuff all the time. I mean, so like,
yeah, you have
if
to.
He... you know, runs his mouth too much, fine. Your phone time shut off. I mean, it's a great tool to use all that. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I have to ask you about this because I've been seeing a lot of it on social media and it's driving me insane. It's part of my, I don't get it. Selfies in public bathrooms.
Well, how's that even legal?
To take a selfie?
In the bathroom. Mirror? In the bathroom. I mean, I thought you couldn't even really take pictures in the bathroom anyway. As a matter of fact, I thought that was a whole privacy issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you think about it.
Yeah, I know. That's true. Of course, most of those have like stalls. So everybody's in a stall. But still, I can't even, like in an airport bathroom, I just want to get in there as fast as I can and get out. The thought of hanging out in there in front of a mirror and taking a selfie.
No, I'm not taking selfies in the bathroom mirror.
Everybody just stop doing that. Like, I don't get it. Like, we don't need to see your outfit in the mirror of a bathroom. I don't understand that concept.
I don't either.
It's all over.
It's a whole different generation. I don't know.
And besides that, the bathroom lighting in a public bathroom, especially like an airport, is horrendous anyway. So everything looks off.
But I would think, if you do think about it, though, I mean, I just would think bathrooms are off limits when it comes to pictures in general. I mean, because people are walking out tucking in their pants still sometimes.
Yeah. It's weird.
I know. I have been. Sometimes I'm still tucking in.
Walking down the hall.
I mean, yeah. So.
I don't get it. And then the other pet peeve I have with phones and people is crying on social media.
Yeah. I don't like that. Don't do that.
I just saw a girl the other day post a video of herself crying. Yeah. Because.
I don't understand.
I don't watch it. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong, but
it's uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, I don't understand. I guess it gets you some likes and some comments, and maybe that's their goal, but it's weird.
It is. And then watch, they're probably just making bucks off of it. And we're like,
okay. Well, probably. So we should start
crying. I mean, that's something we don't know.
I don't cry. I'm not a pretty crier. So I don't think that's going to be.
And it's probably the uglier cry, the better. Then the more
maybe you get more money. I just don't know. I don't get it. It drives me crazy. It popped back up yesterday. This one crying, and she had 77 comments or something like that. It's like,
were they good or bad comments?
I didn't read them. I don't want to know what the only one I could see was, "You're a strong person. You got this." Why are we sharing that? Don't know. We need to stop.
I don't know.
People.
Yeah.
Girls, don't do it. It's not good.
Mm-mm.
All right. So Aura Ring.
Oh gosh. So did you see the, I saw it on the video. This girl got her Aura Ring stuck. She swelled really bad, was real swollen on her pointer finger. Cause I guess that's where you're supposed to wear it.
Yeah.
Well, I think she had some drinks the night before. Caused her to swell, could not get it off, went to a couple of hospitals to get it off. None of them could help her. They ended up having to have the fire department come to cut it off. And they were using like an IV tube of fluid spraying on it because of the battery sparking. And think about all the problems that could have gone wrong with that spark on her finger. Extremely painful. I'm like, holy cow. But then in your situation, it can also save your life. You were telling me all the things that it does to save your life.
Yeah, I saw a story that a man was having a heart attack and the ring, because the app tracks everything. It tracks your blood oxygen overnight while you're sleeping. So you can see like sleep apnea or, you know, oxygen issues. It tracks your heart rate. It tracks your resting heart rate. And even as an example, when my mom passed away, obviously my whole body respond to grief. And it the next morning sent a message on the app that said, you know, keep an eye out. Something's going on with your metabolic rate. Your blood pressure's elevated. Your blood or your heart rate's elevated, not your blood pressure. Your heart rate's elevated. Your body temperature's heart rate elevated. Something's going on. Keep an eye. You might be starting to come down with something. Just pay attention. Well, I was grieving and your whole body, you know, responds to grief. And so it was noticing all those biomarkers in my body showing that something was actually going on. I knew what it was, but obviously it didn't. It was just going by the stats. And so it's gotten my sleep better because I track my sleep on it. It lets you know how many hours you were awake, how many hours you were asleep, what your percentage of sleep quality is, which has kind of been my new thing now. Is it's not so many hours I sleep because I just can't sleep past 5 hours, but I've actually improved my the percentage of the quality of sleep. Like last night I was an 87% quality of sleep. I mean, mostly I'm in my 40s.
That's it. Very
so
good.
I've really increased the way I sleep, and that's been from all my, you know, the routine and all the stuff I've done to change to make sure I'm getting better sleep. And so
you were like a 2% when we first started.
It was horrible.
You were so bad.
Bad. And it's, I mean, there, I still have a few nights where it's not great, but I would say I'm trending. And even told me this morning, your sleep is trending upwards. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. You know, it has little typed messages in the app that says everything's trending in the right direction.
A friend of mine, she called and she actually said that her husband was scheduled, you know, he has sleep apnea real bad. They were going the route of getting him on the machine. They went and tried that chin strap that I talked about.
It's working.
Completely changed. 100% snoring has stopped. They don't have to carry around the sleep apnea machine. Not snoring, sleeping better, feels better. We have it linked on that, on the She Said page.
Yep.
You guys, I'm telling you, try this chin strap first.
You know, I have a friend that actually had the surgery that they inserted like a microchip in her chest.
Yeah.
That's connected to an object on her tongue.
Yeah.
That when she starts snoring at night, it actually darts her tongue out. Like it controls her tongue to keep from sleep apnea. Is that not crazy?
Yes.
That's like sci-fi.
It is sci-fi.
Yeah. She had to go through surgery and have it inserted and then she can turn it on or off with a remote control or something.
Does insurance cover this?
Because it's sleep apnea is obviously dangerous. It causes all sorts of issues. And so, that's how she prevents it. But
very interesting. Have you seen, I was just watching this yesterday about all these people that have had LASIK surgery and how this girl that has a podcast, and I wish I knew the podcast, and she was really concerned that the LASIK surgery has ruined her eyes now. And how really the percentage of LASIK can be really damaging.
Oh, really?
And I want to look further into it. But they were really given all these statistics that, and maybe we'll follow back up with it on the next podcast. But it was that like with a 7 to 10 year timeline that a lot of people lose their distance vision. Their distance gets really blurry within 7 to 10 years of having LASIK. I know nothing about this. We'll kind of dig into it. I thought it was kind of interesting, though. Because you know, as things are done, studies come out and more things happen and you find out a whole lot more information.
And is LASIK supposed to help nearsighted or farsighted? Do you
Couldn't
know?
Tell you.
I don't either. I couldn't
tell you. It won't work for me. I know that.
I think it's supposed to fix nearsightedness. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I've never looked into it.
Well, and I know like my contacts, that's always confused me anyway. I have one contact for far, one contact for near. So I don't even know what that makes me. Cross-eyed? I don't know. I don't know what that makes me.
So they do that. I think they do that a lot. One contacts for near and one's for far. And then your brain balances it out.
Yeah. And I don't have one in right now in my right eye because it's messed up. Time. Oh. I ran out of time.
You can only put one in. You only had time for one?
Well, yeah. Don't ask.
How long did it take you to put contacts in?
But I was running behind just today.
In a hurry.
Yeah, I was in a hurry.
You didn't have one more second.
Yeah, I was like, I'll stop here today. Yeah.
I don't need to see to drive.
That's how I operate.
Okay, so, you know, I was talking about salt water at night that I drink at night, which helps you not have to get up to go to the bathroom, which 1,000% works.
Okay, I have not even been doing that. So
you haven't? It does work. But I've also been trying it. I've always done it in the morning for a couple years. Do you hydrate like that in the morning where you just go? I know you do. Do you put salt in it or any kind of electrolytes? Or
just
do plain?
Yeah, I do some trace minerals sometimes, but I just do plain. I just chug it. There's other things I put in it too sometimes. Typically, I just do plain. And, you know, I do distilled water.
Yeah.
So
I think there is something to be said, though, with doing like electrolytes, just getting all that fired back up since overnight it gets depleted.
I need to just put a pinch of salt in it.
Yeah, I tried one this weekend because I ran out. I didn't run out. It's actually here at the office. I forgot to take it home with me that I typically use in my water. And so I created my own, which I did just some warm water because I like it room temperature.
Me
I don't
too.
Like it cold.
You I can't guzzle. Stand cold water.
Yeah. I like it cold throughout the day, but in the morning,
but
I
they
like
They say
it.
You burn calories on ice cold water.
Right. Because you have to warm it up. Mm-hmm. I like iced water during the day, but morning, my first drinks in the morning, I like it because you can guzzle warm water more than you can cold.
Yeah.
But I did just a pinch of salt and some lemon juice and a little bit of honey. And it was so good.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to just keep doing
that. So you almost made iced tea a little bit.
Except with water.
Well, iced tea is made with water.
I know, but there's tea in it. There's tea leaves.
Yeah. We're tired today, guys.
Anyway, so they also say that if you rinse your mouth with Himalayan salt water.
Yes.
In the morning, it'll help de-puff your face.
All about it.
Do you wake up puffy-eyed?
I do sometimes, yes.
Do you?
Yes, I do. But yeah, without a doubt.
Sometimes
that's
I
one
do.
Of my biggest things. I feel like I retain water. Yeah, without a doubt. I get puffy. I like that salt.
You like salt?
I do like salt.
Yeah, I do too. I'm a big.
I've cut back a lot though. Like I think it's more probably what comes in my food more than me salting my food. I used to salt the ever-loving heck out of my food. And now I don't know that I really add salt too often to my food.
Really? I love salt. Ever since chemo, nothing's salty enough. So I'm always just like throwing a ton of salt on things to make
it. Yeah, my sister ended up with a crazy virus to her heart. It was so weird. Like, it was a virus to her heart many years ago. Now she's got like a pacemaker. And we're talking healthy. No, she's not a drinker by any abusive sense. Not a smoker. They literally said she got a virus that attacked her heart. She could not eat salt. And so everywhere we went, we had to, like, you would have to look at the book, the menu, basically, to see how much salt content was in, a meal at a restaurant. And it was shocking to see how much salt was in a kid's, at Charleston's or at any restaurant. The salt content was obscene.
Yeah.
And so, but it was funny because she was losing so much weight by cutting back the salt in her food, the sodium. She looked so good. Like the puffiness, the bloat, all of that. And so, and she was able to eat like all the sugar, like sweet was not a big deal, but the salt is what she had to cut back. So, but the amount of sodium cut back, she lost so much weight.
Wow. That's surprising.
Yeah.
I didn't know it would do that.
The sodium was killing her.
Well, we went through that with my mom. She couldn't have sodium based on her kidney failure. And so looking at ingredients in food and how much food that you wouldn't think of, oh, we could do this because that's not going to have sodium. We'd have like, 800 milligrams of sodium. And it is shocking what comes in, especially store-bought food and then in restaurants. And, if you talk to any chef, they're going to say salt is 1,000% for flavor. And you should flavor everything with salt, and food is bland without it. But And I guess there's a difference between table salt and sodium that's in food too. Mm-hmm. And so it's just trying to find the things that don't have high sodium content, which is really hard to do. Yep.
Yeah.
We worked on that full time, like our full time job for my mom trying to
keep
her.
That's how it was for Lynn. Her husband was so, he's an RN and he was a godsend to her. I mean, he was so good about it with her.
Just trying to find the right kind of stuff. Oh, he
took amazing care of her.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Mrs. Dash. They really relied on Mrs. Dash. That was a good one for her, for the salt, for the flavor.
For flavor and mm-hmm. no salt. I do like the Himalayan salt too, because it's not that.
We didn't salt our ice cream this weekend. We were going to do that.
You didn't try it?
No, we're going to, so we'll do it this weekend.
I think the olive oil matters too.
It does,
kind, the level of olive oil, because there's some really bad stuff and then some really good stuff.
Yeah, the one I have is from Trader Joe's, so I'm hoping
theirs are usually pretty good.
I think I sent you a message last week or something, and I was like, I have an idea. I have something I want to do one day, like, one day I want to have, oh gosh, what do you call it? An outreach for people.
Like a nonprofit.
A nonprofit. Okay.
Yeah. Fundraiser or something.
Okay. So remember, I think I sent you a message that said, hey, I have an idea one day when I feel like I've got my life in order, you know, because I have lived with chronic pain my whole life. I feel like for 20 years, I have had chronic pain.
Yeah.
Ranging from my back, my knees, my neck, I've had a lot happen to me. And that can really set you back. And then not to mention the setbacks I've had in my life with my family, mm-hmm. with my parents. And so that piles up on you. I look at that and I think, and that can, so then you turn your focus on your family, helping them. And then you've got your own, you know, mental anguish that you're dealing with. And the next thing you know, things pile up on you. And then you're like, gosh, how do I get out of this? How do I move on from this pile that's sitting there or whatever? But I just thought one day, to be able to have a nonprofit that goes in and helps women that are in that same situation, that they don't feel judged. You just go in there and you help them sort through whatever it is they got to sort through, where they know, hey, these people have walked through this same hell that I've walked through. They're not judging. They know how they got in this situation. Because I have heard people say, like, I've seen where they've judged people. Because I mean, I have a family member who's been through such horrible pain in an accident. Like, she has steel rods in her body from head to toe. I can't imagine the pain she's lived in, and how she keeps going to work every day is beyond me. But for her to be able to go home and clean or do anything like that, how people just think about that.
Yeah.
How do you do that? I mean, so I don't know. I just think there's a lot of people out there who are judged and not helped. And people don't think about, like, what they are really going through, and just be able to go home and lay their head down is, like, all they can do at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think it's important to have compassion for people when you really don't know what they're going through mm-hmm. physically, especially. So that was just what I was thinking.
No, I think it's a good idea. That. I think there's got to be something that changes for people like that, because mm-hmm. you can't just go into a nursing home or a assisted living. That's mm-hmm. a whole other expense that not everybody can afford. So there's got to be some resources like that
uh-huh.
that actually help. Well, we're out of time. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.